Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Welcome to Cannabis Talk 101, featuring Blue and Joe Grande, the world's number one source for everything cannabis.
What if we're right? What if all of a sudden they discover that there is medical use for marijuana? And that it is good for you, and it's better than alcohol, and it's better than opioids, and it helps your health. What if we're right? What if they find that out?
Specific cannabinoids have medical value. These are facts.
I'm here today in hopes to assist in removing the demonized stigma of cannabis and the perception that cannabis is just about getting high. The true base of this plant has to be known.
I don't think anybody should ever go to jail for cannabis. Get some medicine, and everybody should have access to it.
This is something which, at the very, very least, is the key to alleviating suffering and extending life for millions of human beings, for returning some kind of balance to our society, and quite possibly of restoring our planet's natural balance as well.
Hello, and welcome to Cannabis Talk 101, the world's number one source for everything cannabis. My name is Blue, alongside me is Mr. Joe Grande, and you are now tuned in to the greatest cannabis show on the planet.
Thank you, Senor Wright.
And
you are very right, by the way, Chris.
Thank you.
Thank you, Blue. Make sure you guys listen to our podcast and check us out all around the world.
Yes.
But make sure you go to the website, too, because we've got so much good information on there, folks. It's CannabisTalk101.com. We got the blogs, the articles, so much thing to lace you up with some knowledge. And if you ever want to say hello, give us a call sometime, 1-800-420-1980. And check us out on YouTube, IG, all the social network, folks. Follow us at Cannabis Talk 101. And when you go to YouTube, you're going to be thrilled because I've never been so excited by watching Connor, Daniel, and Andrea on there. I mean, if you see Blue and Joe Grande, that's one thing. But to see Connor and Andrea yapping back and forth, wow, that's a sight to
big
see.
Time.
And now Michaela's up in there doing it like swimwear. It's nice and tight, folks. So go check this out online at Cannabis Talk 101. My brother Blue is at the number one, Christopher Wright.
Hello.
And you could always catch me on the gram at Joe Grande 52. And if you guys haven't seen the latest edition of the Cannabis Talk magazine, I don't know what you're sleeping on, but it's not us. So you got to check it out and go to CannabisTalkMagazine.com and subscribe now, because you got to see Blue and I on the cover of that magazine. I just showed somebody the other day. They literally were like, oh my God, is this your magazine? And I was like, I got overwhelmed. I almost thought they were joking, to be all like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, like somebody like, oh my God, that's so dope. Like, I felt like you're like show, like making me feel stupid.
Yeah.
And they were real serious. I was like, wow, I forget how dope this magazine is.
They actually felt really
like it was dope. This is really dope. And I was like, you're not being kidding. Thank you. Like,
it is a real thing.
It really is a dope thing. Yeah. So folks, if you haven't seen it, go to the website and check it out yourself. You'll feel the same way. Today
man.
On the platform, I mean, these visionary right here, folks, are just doing things and been doing things for a minute. But like the groundbreaking documentary that they put together with, of course, the biggest activist that I personally know that sits next to me every show that I do, who happens to be the CEO of Cannabis Talk 101, Mr. Yeah. Christopher Wright, a.k.a. Blue, is happens to be one of the cannabis activists in this groundbreaking documentary that Mark and Patty put together, right? So they're the co-producers of this thing called Nectar Ball, a story that dives deep into the intricate history and therapeutic possibilities of cannabis. Now, this is... been put together, like I said, by Mark Schultz and Patty Mooney, and they produced a new and unique videos, which you'll be able to see, you guys, and the pioneers of this special interest in education videos. It all goes back to 1980. I can't wait to hear the story of how you guys did this, why you did this, but the film aims at enlightening viewers about the positive impact of cannabis. And this goes back to the 1970s, Blue, when I was born, and the 80s when you were born. And cannabis, of course, faced a wave of fear and stigma due to the war on drugs. And it's crazy, as I say that sentence in life, to realize that we're part of history of when we're born now. Yeah. You realize that when I say you were born in the 80s, that's a part of serious history now.
Well, the truth is this, is that I was actually born in the 70s.
Sorry. What in the 70s?
And I was kind of like, damn.
Am I in the 80s?
In my younger days.
When you used to wear a rag? When I went to school, you put your lunch pill in a
bag. So what I was going to say is that normally I would have been like, oh no, I'm in the 70s, but now I'm like, thank you for saying the 80s.
You're glad I messed up.
I wasn't going to say anything.
You know what's better?
Is
I'm never
again.
Well, how about this? I'm never going to mess it up because I was actually mad that I thought you were that much younger. They remember, like, I only think he was a couple years younger. I'm 72. I'm going to give him more than 8. Okay, I'll say 80s.
Yeah.
But you're an old goat like me. Either way, you guys, it's not about us. It's about these pioneers that, are grabbing this healing power of cannabis and putting it into a documentary to enlighten everybody that this stigma that's around the globe that needs to be changed, because they really get into deep interviews with big figures such as like Dr. Raphael,
Meshulam.
Meshulam, excuse me. I mean, he's basically known as the father of THC, right? So when you have footage like that, when you have footage of a guy by the name of Christopher Wright, a.k.a. Blue, who created the name Cannabis Talk 101, Talk Show, and all this other stuff that we're on now. I mean, this is the guy that really did. I met him and was like, dude, you're a genius for this. And all bullshit aside, I said that. No, that's how I felt. I told you that.
When I first met you,
I told you that this logo is bigger than both of us. Mm-hmm. Is literally what I told him, right? Let's put our face on it. No, the logo is everything.
Everybody knows the logo.
You got it down. And then you got guys like Tommy Chong. And to go back on Blue, Blue's not just, the logo guy. No, his dad sold it. Dad taught him how to. I mean, it's part of his livelihood. It's like fucking drinking milk with this kid. He knew it did a body good. You know what I mean? Weeds in the house. So I even look at Blue as one of those gentlemen in my life that, like, even anytime, let alone early on when I first met him, but it was like, if I have a cannabis question or a cannabis, somebody, let's call Blue real quick. I mean, if not, if he doesn't know the answer,
I got someone who does.
He does, exactly. And that's the thing that I love about him. So when he's in this documentary, folks, he's the real deal. Steve D'Angelo, I mean, Eduardo Blasino, I mean, Dan Herrera, the list goes on and on. Nurses, Nurse Heather Sobel, you name it. You guys, Adam Ill, you guys go on and on with this documentary, as far as even John Sally, an NBA championship player who's been on our show before as well, and many other cannabis influencers. This documentary presents a diverse perspective on cannabis from locations such as good old Hollywood and California, Humboldt County, Santa Rosa, Buenos Aires. I mean, they go around the world, Uruguay, South Africa. There's so much more that they touched about cannabis. You don't want to miss this documentary, you guys, of a lifetime. Be sure to check out the website. It's nectarball.com, NECTARBALL.com, or follow them on IG, Nectarball, Nectarball right there, for more information. Without further ado, please put your hands together for the co-producers of Nectarball. Mark and Patty are in the building.
Hey.
Thank you guys for joining us today. And let's go back to, how did you guys even meet to come up with having a concept to put a movie together? Where did you guys two first connect?
Well, first of all, Patty and I met actually on Valentine's Day, 1982.
Wow.
So we've been together ever since. And to do the...
That's a long time.
It's 43 years now, right?
Your lifetime, is it?
Not mine.
Yeah, almost mine. Almost. Yeah, 78. Yeah.
And so we've been together making videos with my company called Crystal Pyramid Productions in San Diego since 1981. I was doing when I met Patty in 82. That's when we teamed up, and she's been with me ever since. As well as helping.
And you say
me.
Making videos, what kind, education videos, yeah, farming video, what videos?
At first it was PSAs to help nonprofits and, you know, the typical thing that a lot of video production people did back in those days, weddings,
sure,
special events.
Anything, whatever. That, yeah, hey, anything I got these could, cameras and I know how to edit. Let's
I got
go.
A video camera, what's that? So after that, Patty jumped on as editor after I taught her, and she surpassed me. She's the master, is now the student.
She's the one that
I
works.
Love when that happens.
Yeah. She does the magic, and we'll get into that more.
Obi-Wan.
She's the one. And then we started doing more corporate videos, and then we did how-tos in 85. We started doing how-to videos, the first self-defense for women video. We did a funny one called California Big Hunks, which became a kind of a cult classic even to this day. It's weird.
Yeah.
Before Chippendales. Wow. Nail erotic strip tape.
Would you be the sampler on those tapes too?
No, I'm not.
Oh, California, you're not the
little hunk. So this was a big, you know, hunks. These guys were great. And then we did self defense for women, and we did Patty's massage for relaxation video in 85. And eventually,
a bunch of mountain biking videos because that's what we like to do.
We love mountain biking.
Mountain biking.
You guys are like the damn near originators of social media influencers.
Well,
if
you look up the inventor of the helmet cam, I did that too, so I could give people a perspective of being on a mountain bike in 1987. So we did the first mountain biking video called the Great Mountain Biking Video. Then we did the Ultimate Mountain Biking Video, the first ever World Mountain Bike Championships, which was in Durango, California. And ESPN had never done that. And I showed them a camera that you could, you know, put on the helmet. You could put it underneath the seat. We called it the penis cam.
Yeah.
And then we also put it under the bottom bracket.
Is your last name GoPro?
Yeah. Actually, he went to my school at UCSD. But
no way.
He graduated 87. I was long out by then. I graduated 81 from UCSD. And it's just been making those kind of things. And then documentaries started after that. We did one called The Invisible Ones on homeless combat vets that the Blue and I were talking about. And that to help the cause, you know, we didn't make any money. We just gave it away. DVDs in those days. We still have some DVDs here. If people that have DVD players still. But
got one in my car, player. Come on.
We were the kings of VHS back in the day. That's almost like after 8 tracks.
Oh, I love it. Come on. I'll get a beta out right now.
Let's go. Beta cam. So we did that. And
you still have some beta?
I do.
The impetus for the Nectar Ball, the story of cannabis, came in 2016 after I went to the Santa Rosa Fairgrounds for the first Emerald Cup I'd ever been to. Tim Blake puts that on.
Yeah.
And that was beautiful. It was the first time I guess I could say I came out of the green closet.
Yeah. For you as a director and doing the thing, so you guys both go down there together?
Well, no, the first year Patty didn't. So I went there.
Oh,
and
he
just
went by himself. Okay.
I went with a few friends, one who had cancer and was trying to, you know, get rid of
it. So you heard about it as a medical thing to go to. A mainly cancer patient buddy goes, hey, let's go to this cannabis
what year
thing
was that?
That I heard about.
That was 2016. Yes, thanks for asking. And 2016, that's when I came out of the green closet. I went there. I took pictures. I took some video. I got to spend some time in the history section of this. And that's where I met some wonderful people. A beautiful woman that told me about the Lakota Seed Bank that she was guarding, told me, hey, don't show your Nectar Ball collection, which was this little pot collection I had from the 70s, because they'll steal it because they want the DNA, you know, who knows? It's like Jurassic Park. They want to recreate the land races.
Right.
And so I said, okay, great. I took pictures, some video, went back home, told Patty. So she came up with me the next year. And that first year, I also did, I was helping with a movie called The Legend of 420 by Peter Spire, right?
Spire.
And he did this thing called The Legend of 420. So I said, I'm still kind of afraid to put my face in it, but you can show my collection.
Right.
So I did
like,
that.
Don't put me out there because it was awkward back then.
Well, it's even then, like it was medically approved. But
yeah, but not. I mean,
but like, still not still okay to just say, hey, this is what I do for you guys in
no,
the world. Yeah, you can't do that.
Because when I started growing in the 1970s, like 1975, that was my first plant I grew. I, you know, knew it was, you know, bad juju. And when we created a whole crop, I know Patty's got some pictures there that we probably might be able to throw up, but we didn't show our faces in that either because that was ancient land race that we were growing sativa, and we had gotten 6 seeds of Afghan indica from an Air Force pilot that brought them in, and we grew them, and they were short, little, stocky versus my sativas, which were tall, and they had a smell that was more like a skunk versus the pine tree smell, the terpenes.
Sure.
And I was like, what's this? And that one leaf could cover your head.
Wow.
And it was the craziest thing. And people say, oh, you can't crossbreed those. But I ended up starting to try it, and it worked. But then they homogenized, if you will. They, now the plants were not as tall, but they were fatter. They didn't smell quite the same. So
hybrid.
And then as luck would be it.
The hybrid. True. Yeah.
The luck would have it, because you can't hide pot in trees. There's no trees in San Diego County. So that second year, the crop that we had got busted. Unfortunately, that was 1980.
Wow.
In 1979, we had a first smoking at UCSD where we just rolled a bunch of joints and handed them all out. The next year, we did it again. And we would, after the watermelon drop, we would put little posters on the just right after, say, don't decriminalize, legalize.
And this is at SDSU?
This is
Aztecs,
no,
right?
No, not Aztecs. This was UCSD.
UCLUC, okay.
Tritons. So we would in the newspaper say, wow, UCSD outdid Berkeley on pot. They had all the cops could
because
do
you
take
got
pictures
burnt, right,
of us.
Right, right.
There's like 1,000 of us all getting high, you know? And we were saying, don't legalize, decriminalize. You know, like, is that
I actually over? Remember this movement back in those days and seeing that in the news and seeing that, because you're right. It made
there
a big,
was a couple.
It made a big reference with you guys in Berkeley.
Berkeley.
But my point is, though, I'm from the Bay Area, right? Exactly. But I'm from the Bay Area. I remember all those movements in the Bay all the time. But then I remember seeing what San Diego did, that going, oh, yeah, that story now is coming back to me.
Interesting.
That is so crazy, because I lived in the Bay. So Berkeley, those movements were very like, oh, my goodness. I remember seeing them all the time. I started smoking at 6. So, you know, my brother, I just remember those, right? And so your story is coming to my head of that life you lived.
Well, Joe, he told me he was going to make this up just to see,
just to see if I remembered or to see if I lied.
If you remembered it and lied.
Yeah, I don't remember. It sounds like a story I remember, though. How about that? And so much more. You guys, Nectar Ball is the name of the show that they have. I can't wait to hear where the story goes, because I don't even know how you guys found this guy. I want to hear when we come back, how did you find Blue, and why is Blue in this movie?
Hello.
And where did you find him at? It's Cannabis Talk 101, nectarball.com. Go check it out.
Let's go.
Be right back after this break.
Follow Blue at One Christopher Wright. Follow Joe Grande at Joe Grande 52.
Subscribe to our weekly newsletter on our website, CannabisTalk101.com.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Welcome back Cannabis Talk 101.
We're the world's number one podcast for everything cannabis.
I don't know if you ever found yourself caught up. Folks need a lawyer to help you out, but I got the man for you. He's my attorney, Mr. Freddie Sage. He's with the Fox Firm. He has over 20 years of experience. He's become one of the best-known criminal defense firms and a personal friend of mine that I love very much. He's one of those cannabis law attorneys that's been in the state of California from the giddy-up, from low-level misdemeanors to high-level felonies, and any matters in between, folks, that has to do with cannabis or not, the Fox Firm offers a free initial consultation on all legal matters. Call him now, 310-877-5033. That's 310-877-5033 in California. Or check out his website, thefoxfirm.com, with two X's. Mark and, of course, Patty, a wonderful couple that have been together from the 80s, from day one, which I love hearing the story of how you guys met. And now, of course, are the co-producers of this wonderful film called Nectar Ball, with so many iconic cannabis influencers in this movie and where it goes back. And, of course, our very own Christopher Wright, a.k.a. Blue, is in it. How and why, when you're doing a documentary, did you guys decide, and how did Blue's name come on your radar to put in this documentary?
Well, good question. We were at the WeedCon in Hollywood. I think it was 2020, one of the last great extravaganzas before everything shut down in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And Petri Alexandra was putting this on, WeedCon Productions. So she introduced us to you.
Yeah.
And we decided, yes, these are very interesting people we want to interview. Basically people who were OG people and love the plant and understand it has medicinal capabilities.
Sure. You know, it's interesting because a lot of people, you know, still think that cannabis is just for getting high, and they don't understand that the United States of America has decided to call it medicinal cannabis for a reason, you know, and there's a reason why we're from the United States that they would say it's medicinal and there's medicinal value. And I think it's interesting to me that people still are caught in the, like, oh no, you know, it's like, we're
like
going to get
every day,
shot.
Like right now, like every, like, you know what I mean? Like for real, for real. Like, it's bad,
bro,
bad.
Like we are in the US, like we don't make like stupid decisions and just, oh yeah, we're going to make it a medicinal and call it that so we can get you high. No.
And some people won't even try it either. There's those like, somebody that lives in my house, possibly,
yeah,
that would like look at it like, no, don't, that, you, we don't want to give them that.
Yeah.
But if the doctor says give them a pill,
I'll give them the pill.
We can give them the pill because the doctor said that.
Right.
There's a lot of people still to this very moment.
It's consistent training, right? Like, you know, we're taught everything we know. And I try to explain that to people and say, listen, you know, the best part of education is being educated and knowing that you need to learn, right? We are here for a divine purpose. That purpose is to learn things. And, you know, and it's so sad because so many times we have conversations with people and they're not willing to learn, you know, and you know, they're not willing to learn while you're talking to them. You're watching them accept the fact that they don't want to learn and that they know it, or they're going to teach you a different way, or they're too proud of it. But the fact is in every single variable, it's an education piece. And it starts with, you know, all of us went to school. How many went to school? Raise your hand. Everybody raises their hand, you know, because we all did. And we're all raised our hand in school, and that's what we were taught. And so some of us were taught bad things and good things. But I think it's important for people in the cannabis industry, you know, to get our message out. And I appreciate you guys, you know, being a part of that, because this is what helps us, right? The ability to learn about this plant, to hear from people like myself and my story, people like Tommy Chung's story, or, you know, any of the other, you know,
people from your way, South Africa, Humboldt County,
Sally, any of the people that were on this, including yourselves, you know, it's a message that people need to hear. And it's nice, you know, what made you guys have that feeling to decide that you wanted to create Nectar Ball, and where does the name Nectar Ball and everything come from?
Well, it's
that was very well said. I just want to say, by the way, I was really into your whole thing.
Thanks for, you know, so cool, helping the world be a better place with cannabis in it, and
yeah, I
helping
agree.
Remove the stigma, which we all know is huge.
Sure.
So Patty and I did this. It took 7 years to make, traveling all over the world. I mean, of course, there was some pandemic time there.
Yeah.
But we really enjoyed you know, the process and meeting these people. And Jimmy Young said, that teaches documentary filmmaking, says, you guys did it right. You let the story be told by the people. All these people. We interviewed 165 people, at least, and only 52 of you made it in. Because this is the one documentary. We plan on making a series, and John Sally is ironically going to be the executive producer for a whole bunch, including the 12 Black Cannabis Visionaries. So a series of like 30-minute shows, as much as we can afford to do on ourselves. Anybody wants to help? Come on in. Sure. But the to answer your question about the Nectar Ball name, that came from, you know, like when I used to grow buds back in the 70s, they all had, you know, like this bud here, they have...
Is this your homegrown?
Yeah, this is like some homegrown.
Oh, this is
good. They have like little balls. And I thought, wow, and they smell so good. Oh, and the little capsules, like little nectar.
Please share.
Yes, absolutely. And then I started smoking with these like pipettes, you know, load them on up, smoke it. People go, this is like nectar of the gods. And so I came up with the word Nectar Ball.
Talking to the mic.
I came up with the word Nectar Ball like that. So that's a big, big, big part.
Yeah.
And that's how that name started. Now, Patty, on the other hand, you know, enjoyed smoking, but she'd rather do oils and drops and maybe bombs.
Right.
And so we made a little homemade bombs we make just to help her with arthritis.
That's me right there. I have the arthritis. I have all I use this every day.
We have OLD disease, right? So it's.
I feel like when the oldest, like every day I'm putting on wrists, forearm, hips, inner thighs, ankle.
It really works.
I really rub it everywhere. And not only that, like when I don't do it because I'm in a rush, you'll say, oh, God. I mean, I'm just cramped. Like I just, it really works for me. And I have enough anecdotal evidence to know that if I don't do it, I risk cramp, I risk thing. And I go to the gym and I do all these things. And no matter what, because of my arthritis and I have this
it
and
works.
That. And oh, my goodness.
It works. And, oh, yeah. Even though Patty's got, like, she had to have, this pain was beyond anything that we could make medicinally. She had two artificial knees put in, and she still won a mountain bike race after 33 years. Last year, she had done it. She's going to do it again on May 5th.
She could probably still run faster than you, too, huh? Well,
not run, but she can certainly, certainly bike. We both did very well, but she
that
kicks
is so
butt.
Awesome.
She still kicks butt.
And as you talk about that, and that's so great to hear, and Nectar Ball, what a great story of how you guys
great,
came to be.
Great name,
this.
Too.
Yeah, I loved it. That was such a good journey down
you
there.
You should take that name and patent that one.
Having John Sally.
We have trademarked it or whatever. Yeah.
We have.
I just trademarked it.
And having a guy like John Sally, who's another visionary, who didn't get to smoking until later in life and doing what he does, is another one of those like stories of... This is real medicine. John's not the young kid that was smoking weed and this and that. He got into it later in life after he was a professional athlete. Like, he's one of those testimonials that's phenomenal in my book, on top of being a vegan and everything else of healthiness that he does. So it's like it goes hand in hand with the healthy lifestyle that he lives. Where did you guys go in this documentary? Like, if someone's watching it, it's obviously done. What do you expect and want them to get out of it? Because you guys have put your heart and soul into this. If Blue and anybody watches this, you go, I want them to get what? When we come back, we're going to hear your answers. You guys are the directors. You guys are the co-producers. What do you want us to take from this movie, Nectar Ball? It's Cannabis Talk 101. We'll be right back after this break.
Let's go. You want to hear your name shouted out live on the show? Call us anytime. 1-800-420-1980. And leave us a voicemail.
Make sure you like, follow, and subscribe to Cannabis Talk 101 now.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Now back to the number one cannabis show on the planet. You know what? F*** it. Now back to the number one cannabis show in the universe, Cannabis Talk 101.
Turn your typical into something special, folks. When it comes to infused products, the flavor you taste should be just as enjoyable as the feeling you experience. Make sure you check out the website, loranoils.com. Mark and Patty are here, of course, the co-producers at Crystal Pyramid Productions of Nectar Ball. And, you know, I did hear that you guys are allowing the artists like a Christopher Wright, a.k.a. Blue, a Tommy Chong, a Doctor This, a Activist That, a, you know, Adam Eel This, have told the story from their eyes, which is great because there's nothing better, dude, that I really think about when I think of his stories that he tells me about, even his dad on his deathbed and, like, going to... It's like a Rocky movie, in my opinion. Like, I could see it like a Rocky movie when, like, you know, his, like, just go win the fight almost, right? Like, go win the fight for us, Mule.
Get him, Blue.
You can do it, son. Like, I have this whole fucking, his dad's Adrian, and, you know, he's Rocky, and he's going to go kill cannabis for us. It's so funny. So, like, when I see and hear that Blue's in it, I can't wait to hear the message that you guys have chosen in editing to give me from this man. Because I know this man, right? And I know a few other people on this list of people, so I can't wait to watch it. But you guys have pitched this movie and their story and something that you want us viewers to take home. And I know so many stories that Blue has that I can't wait to hear which one that is in the movie, because there's so many, in my opinion, that pertain to the life of cannabis that he knows it from what he's been taught. And one of those great ones are, well, if you look at how much of the, like, the biggest cannabis where it comes in from, this is what's a good argument. He may say sometimes Mexico or even Canada sometimes, and he gives a good argument about it, right? Yeah. Because he has good anecdotal history, evidence of where it comes from and where it was shipped and who picked him up and, like, real stories like that. Like, and, like, when you hear the stories, like, from him and Big Mike, and they validate the, what kind of way did you pull it in a hockey bag? Nobody knows these type of dumb things. You know what I mean? And I didn't know him. So he, and this is going to show you, like, how do I know this joke? I didn't do it. I wasn't a drug dealer like that. I wasn't pushing weight like that. I'm taught as well. I get to sit here and get blessed by hearing stories from Blue and everybody who talks to about pioneering this game. I just get to say I started smoking at 6 for my older brother who was 16. You know what I mean? That's what I did in the game. Yeah, but I wasn't pushing it.
You know, a lot of people, they don't understand that. Like, it's like when people say, oh, you know, all the weed comes from Northern California. And listen, a lot of great weed came from Northern California.
But the most
weed. But a lot of, we talk about the most weed. I mean,
Southern
there was,
California.
Yeah, there was all of Southern California. But I mean,
probably coming out of the
but
country.
Think about, like, Mexico is where they
pushing so much a day, admit.
Yeah, from the other countries, boats. They're pulling in boatloads of it and then moving it up and down the states, you know, before the good quality cannabis was
before
here.
We're growing it locally so much more now.
The compressed, the Arizonas, the compressed, and then now Colombia. It's locally, it is, it, you know, it's taking it, now they're shipping it back into Mexico.
Yeah.
Okay, so
now it's going the other way.
And now it's going the other way. And that's what's an amazing story in itself, is that now you got this amazing ass cannabis that's going into places like Mexico and things like that. But, you know, with this story being told, you know,
yeah, what is the story that you guys are trying to get out
for you
with
guys?
Nectar Ball?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's the story of cannabis, and that's a lot. That's like, what, 15,000
And exactly,
plus years.
There's so much story of, like, what part of cannabis, right? That, like, there's so much, like, where did this cut, like, what part are you guys wanting us to get from Nectar Ball?
Well, Patty is going to have to field this one, because I'm going to, you know, let you know. She's in some ways, I would almost say, the brains behind part, or if not the entire story part of it, because she,
I would say, Mark, everything is Patty.
Well, we everything's always Patty. I mean, it's a happy wife, happy life. Like, yeah. I say, my definition of love is when the other person's happiness is essential to your own. So it goes both ways.
Yeah.
And this woman here has been with me through thick and through thin, making a documentary when we went around the world on mountain bikes called The Full Cycle of World Odyssey. But when she started taking over editing, and then she had to transcribe all these interviews, hundreds of hours. So tell us.
Well, I did have some technical help with that, with the transcribing, but as far as telling the story, it had to start from the very beginning. And in the very beginning, what was cannabis used for? Spirituality, medicine, recreation, sure. Why should there be a delineation of recreation, spirituality, and medicine? Why? I don't know. But I decided to tell the story from the viewpoint of everyone in it and their greatest sound bites, but in the right
order.
Order, exactly. Yeah. And so it moves from history through prohibition, the terror on our own domestic farmers by our own government, soldiers leaping out of helicopters to decimate their crops, fields of crops on fire, that's medicine burning. So leading up to now, when now there is a lot of anecdotal evidence, there is still a dearth of research. Dr. Mishulam did a lot of research and he paved the way and showed so many gold bricks along the path of the THC and all the compounds and everything in the plant that helps make for a better life for people. So what we wanted to do is create this, not create the story, but tell the story. And the people who see it can, I'd say, we're preaching to the choir, right? We're showing it to you. You're showing it to your other friends who love to smoke pot.
Rub ointments.
And then they tell their grandparents or their parents who are suffering with arthritis that you've got to see this video because this explains what this plant is about. It's nothing to be afraid of. Take your stigma and rub it away with the balm.
Sure. And a lot of people
love that.
No, it's very simple. It's like, you know, it's education, right? Again, it goes back to every single thing that we're doing is about education. And if you don't get that, you know, and that might be with your spouse, your lover, your children, your...
I mean, you're saying life, dog. You use a great example. Raise your hand. Like, and I raise my hand because we're taught to do that.
Everybody's
you're
here.
Taught. It's top, everything's but top everything, behavior.
But every second of the day is an educational piece, right? And right. And it's... But most people have a hard time acknowledging that or accepting that into their life. And it's just like, well, why can't you just say, I don't know how to do that. Show me.
And I wish people would say, I don't know what cannabis is, but I've been told it's bad.
Right.
And I've been told that it's the devil's juice. And I've been told if I smoke, I'm going to go to hell.
But instead they go, no.
Right. So
let's
look at all the bad sides. Spiritually, you're told you're going to hell. Psychotically, you're going to get high. You're going to see the devil and you're going to go see the kukui and you're going to see the fucking marshman. You're like, there's just so much psychedelic over the top. Made up scenarios that people will allude to because of the propaganda that people have said once they get high, the stigma, right? So there's those stigmas of that. And then the fact of the health issue, you're the athlete like Connor was in high school and college, and he didn't try it until he was later in life because he was a soccer player and then he's a college soccer player.
Now
and
he's a professional athlete. Now he's a weed addict.
He's not a weed addict. I'm he just realizes kidding. How much it helps him. Fair, is that fair to say though, Connor? How you were like that back in the day as well, right?
Yes.
We want to see you. There you go.
You know, I've had my different relationships with it. Like, I've abused the plant. I'll be completely honest with it. But I've also...
But you've identified that, and that's the difference.
Yeah,
and you even
yeah.
told me, you're like, Joe, I think I've been smoking too much. I need to blah, blah, blah. Which, I'm not one to judge anyone, but I think that's dope on your part to say that. And even Blue, like, I love when he even mentions, like, he doesn't smoke that much. I never said anything like that. Like, in my life, I did everything too much. That's why I don't smoke weed like that. But my point is, I think that's, like, respectable and knowledgeable. It's like, hey, I'm drinking too much. Hey, I think I'm smoking too much. It's accountable for your life. But my point is, you know now the benefits for it, and you're finding the balance because there's nothing that says, hey, if you're a 150-pound male, you should be using this amount of cannabis. Which, if you did, I'm sure you'd be using it that way.
Also, if he has to, he can show his parents the movie, and they'll hopefully understand based on just watching
that. I'll tell you right now, I can't wait to send that to everyone. Is it going to be online, anywhere, Amazon?
It's available online right now at nectarball.com and has been for about a month now since we've released it recently. So you can go to nectarball.com, and I think we're asking for a donation of like $4.20, less than a cup of coffee.
It's a great idea.
It's a good 420
think,
right there.
I think, didn't you recommend that there, Chris?
Yeah, I did.
So he says use the magic number 420.
I said sell it for 420.
I mean, why not? Go to nectarball.com, folks, and donate $4.20. Now once I donate that, do I download it and
you have it for at least a week or something like that. If you want a DVD, you can have a DVD if you still have a player.
I actually have one in my car. Like, I wanted to like bring 18, one out.
1888. Yeah. 420. The magical numbers. But it's a good time. Right. I would say show the trailer or show a piece of you, part of your
Can we
interview.
Get this on Netflix or anything? Are you guys trying to pitch this or Amazon Prime? I mean, why
not
a big name?
Not as of yet, but we have some of our Canna Minutes and Fighting Cancer with Cannabis, which is a 10-minute movie on redcoraluniverse.com. And that's the new platform that just started, Red Coral Universe.
Red Coral?
Coral. Red Coral. C-O-R-A-L-R-E-D.
What is
Coral.
That?
Filmmaker-friendly platform, OTT.
Red Coral.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that's it. They're good people. Larry Maestrich is the head of it. And he also produced a movie that won an Academy Award called Sling Blade.
Just an Academy Award. I mean, no big deal. It's the top
red,
of the
red
top.
Coral. Is that right there?
Cannabis Visionaries is going to be there. That's John Sally. He's our executive producer on that one. That'll be on it. It's about 38 minutes.
I'm a big fan of John Sally. I just think he's a very brilliant man personally. Yes, like, I really do. Guy. I look at what he's done professionally and personally, and
he's
I've always respected him.
He's just got good vibes.
Good energy. Yeah.
Family man.
I have a great story about him.
Please.
Well, he was going to come over and see Mark's collection. And I said, let's go on a mountain bike ride. We can probably find a bike for you. And he said, okay, hold up right now. A bike for me? I'm 7 feet tall. That's like like two squirrels asking a giraffe to do squirrel things.
It's a very good analogy with him. I mean, he's a big dude.
It would have to be a big bike. I don't even know if they have a bike.
Well, even if they did, talking about the distance to fall off of it.
Right. Yeah,
it'd be horrible going mountain biking. When you're that big, I mean, I'm not that bad. I don't even want to go mountain biking. Well, we like to do the high five with everybody that comes in, folks. So do yourself a favor, nectarball.com.
Get it.
Go rent the movie and support this. And not only that, go see our very own Christopher Wrights, a.k.a. Blue, the CEO of Cannabis Talk 101, as he's talking knowledge. And I can't wait to go see. I'm going to buy it. I'm going to pay this
because
I want to hear everybody that what they had to say and support your guys'
watch.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
Radio show.
Oh, that's when you're a real
thing. Growing up, we've always been around cannabis. It wasn't illegal in my home, something that was pretty natural around my household. As far as I can remember, it's just been always with us. 18 years old, started, trying to get into the legal licensing or the California state licenses, whatever they were called back then. You know, the different Proposition 215s and the 64s and things of that nature. Ended up opening up a dispensary, got that dispensary off the ground, launched it, took it to a nice level, ended up selling it, and then going into education, created an education model for the cannabis industry. Now I'm national in 29 states teaching cannabis throughout the country.
And still doing it.
Wow.
Riverside
if
is
you're
the
watching
platform
that across
most
the country right there, right? And you see a guy like that and you hear that and you're just, trying to be like, well, that's how life was for some people. And, and he grew up with it. And it's so dope to see that. That's why I say I can't wait to watch what people's truths are, because that's what I love. And I love when he speaks his truth, because it's just so cool to me as far as judgment meaning cool. Like, so many people would look at his life and be like, you fucking blah, blah, blah. That's so crazy. Judge your
criminal.
Whatever the judgment is. I like to call it the Karen syndrome nowadays, but it's just judgment.
Yeah.
And when you see it and you see it get overlooked like that by hearing these stories, it's just phenomenal. So go watch the movie. Thank you for showing us that part in Blue. I love how you flipped me off and nobody could see it and hear it, because I said that's when you looked all skinny in there. Look how good you look now, though, dog. It's crazy to think you're older now. That's like 4 years or 5 years, whatever amount of years ago that was.
Yeah.
Bottom line is this.
4 years, I think, was like 2020.
And look how much better you look, even after a heart attack. I mean, you look
better in 2020 then.
How crazy, though. Look, you look at that, you look at you now. It's like, dude, look how good you look. Anyways, we want to do the high five with you guys. We're going to ask you guys a question, Patty. You'll answer first.
It's because I met you, Joe.
No, it had nothing to do with me. And then, Mark, you'll answer the same question right after that. But, Blue, you look great. And you look good in this movie. So I can't wait to go watch Nectar Ball as well. Question number one, Patty. Mm. How old were you the first time you smoked cannabis? And where did you get it from, young lady?
Ooh, 18. I was at the Breadloaf Writers Conference. I was a young poet. And I had a grant to be there. And I was super excited. And a few of the other writers there. And I took a walk one night over to this beautiful spot up on the mountain. This is Breadloaf, Vermont. And would you like to share a doobie? Absolutely. You know, when in Rome, right?
Yeah, you just, all right, absolutely. I'll try it.
I did. And when there was a little pool of water, like a small lake. And then the sky was all black with stars in it. And then there were stars in the lake. And it seemed like it was all one tableau of allness.
And you just started hearing the song. I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. Right?
Gotta be a bright.
You guys got nice voices.
Bright sunshiny day.
Isn't that like, that's how I was feeling right now when you were describing your feeling.
She's a poet.
That didn't even
know. And guess what? As you're a poet, I know you have something memorized that you just love that was one of your dearest poets, that because somebody who writes just like Blue has one of his lyrics that he can recite. But what's a good quick poem that you can give us that something that is on the tip of your tongue that you could recite?
Maybe something you wrote. That,
so, of course, something you wrote. Of course, something you wrote.
She used to do air poetry.
Yes, you said you wrote it. So I want to hear your style. Give us something that shows us what Patty Mooney is.
All right. Well, this is a rhymey one.
Perfect.
Based on a true story about a grizzly bear attack.
Arr.
There are tales of the Yukon bush, I'm told, that would still a man's heart and make his blood run cold. But none impresses me a fraction of the one in which I saw the action.
What are you doing tonight, Bear?
It goes more and more.
And then it ends with Mark going, hello, rawr. He comes out of bear costume. He's right behind you.
It was a true story in Yukon. She wrote the poem in the vein of Robert Service, the cremation of Sam McGee. So when she read that poem at the Diamond Tooth Gertie's talent contest later that night when we got back after being attacked by a grizzly bear. And
holy shit.
We were attacked
by a grizzly bear.
The guy we had a shotgun and shot it, had to shoot it three times before it as it charged.
You guys
us.
Witnessed a grizzly bear be shot in real life.
The saddest thing too. Horrible. But anyway.
But he was going to kill you.
No, that's a real story though.
He was going to kill you though.
Exactly, right?
Was he?
The poem is online if they want to read about it and hear about it.
Yeah, I made a video poem out of it.
Hold on. That's a good question. Is it killed or be killed scenario?
It
right?
Was. Absolutely.
Thank you. Like, that's a scary situation.
Four feet of
that's
her.
That's a real one.
I was ready to push her off the cliff because it's safer. Well, it was just rolling down
safer
the hill.
Safer to fall and be broken than to be eaten.
Mauled. Yeah.
Oh, that's a crazy scenario,
we can
right?
Tell you stories for hours.
Oh, my God. Well, I mean, Patty, what a beautiful poem. Thank you for that first time smoking weed story. Mark, what about you?
I'll try and make it quick. My buddy and I found it. It was like sixth grade. So I was probably about 14 and a half, 15. Almost. And he said, I got this weed. And I said, well, okay, I'll try it. Let's see what happens. Let's do a little bit. And we're so paranoid about doing it, where to do it. We went, climbed up on the Thrifty's roof, like two stories up. We're up on top of the roof, smoking it in the corner.
Thrifty's?
Like, I'm not feeling anything. I don't know. It was commercial grade stuff. This is like 1974, 70.
And you went downstairs and got a scoop of ice cream for a dime?
No, we didn't get high. So the next time I did it, because my mom found out, she said, oh, I heard you got high. You smoked some pot. And I went, yeah, well, I didn't really do anything. She goes, okay, well, if you're going to do it, you have to do it here at the house. You're not going up on that roof. And here. And that was the first time I got high. It was with my
mom. Stash.
Yeah. She got the real good stuff out.
That's like Lewis.
You know, a lot of people don't get high the first time because their energy is so high. Yeah. And they're looking for a high.
Plus, I think your body has to, the first time you do it, it has to acclimate almost, if you will. Yeah. And it was like Acapulco Gold from 72, so it might not have been 72. All that strong.
It wasn't the best, huh? Question number two of the high five. What is your favorite way to use or smoke cannabis, Patty?
Well, I like to take a gummy before I go on a mountain bike ride, and it keeps my shoulders. I have severe degenerative arthritis in my shoulders now, and it keeps me able to ride because it's sort of like running a jackhammer when you're on a technical downhill, which is
favorite. Are you riding electric bikes or
regular? Pedal assist. They're called class one e-bikes.
Yeah. You know, I'll tell you what, you know, keep it up. Keep riding.
And not only that, keep using this medicine, Patty, because I just recently, within the last 4 weeks, maybe month and a half, have been using an edible when I go work out. And then I've been saying I'm getting the best workouts. I'm talking to Chris about it on my way to hanging out. And he goes, you know why you're getting the best workouts, right? I go, and I kind of didn't put this together until he said that, but he didn't say, you know why. He goes, of course you're getting great workouts. You're not in pain. I'm like, that's why I'm getting a better workout.
Hello.
I'm holding the plank longer. I'm doing this longer. I'm holding this longer. Why? Because I'm not in pain.
This is awesome.
Right? And it's like, dude, oh, yeah, well, it was better than the four Advils I was not taking or trying to take. So,
but it's all, like you said, anecdotal. It's different.
It's real, exactly. So my point is I have real proof in what you're describing too. So my follow-up, because I'm curious now, Patty, is have you found a recommended edible that you're like, when I take this one works great for my body and for you as a female?
Well, I also take tinctures.
That's what I'm saying, though, because what I'm trying to do, right, is get people to talk about their regimens more and then describe who they are right now, meaning 52-year-old Latin male is what I'm doing. I start with my morning with a 15-milligram edible, take two tokes now before, and this is Mr. Sober, never would have done this before in my life in 25 years, actually, or 24 before I started touching cannabis like this, from 6 to 26, and now I have a regimen. Then I go to the gym and do that, and I'm able to work out much harder because I've had the two hip surgeries. I've had ankle surgeries, like your shoulders. I use this strictly medically, and I'm marking it down medically. And therefore, so for you, do you know a brand? Like right now, I'm on the dime, eating dime in the morning and at night for the AM and PM and trying to give him more feedback. So have you found anything that you're taking that you realize, when I do this brand, I notice the best results?
The Nectar Ball brand, because...
Perfect.
When Mark grows the plant in the backyard, and then when it's ready, he makes infuses oil with the cannabis.
You're making your own supply. That's the best.
The best.
Well, right? I also get some trim from some of our friend farmers, and then make the bombs. First, I make the oil, then I put the oil with the like organic coconut you get at Costco type thing.
Right.
And then different, and a little bit of beeswax. Boom. You know, summer blend versus winter blend.
Nice.
It's a little kitchen operation, kind of like Power Bar started.
And you know how to use it, and you're using it. And this is the other thing that I love about anything in life. When you know how you're using whatever it is that you're using, whether it be technology,
the plan is to really understand what you're going through. And again, you know, you want the same experience every single time. Like, you know, if you take an aspirin, you know what you're going to get from it. You know, if you take an oxycodone, you know what you're going to get if you know how to take them. It's the reality.
You're right.
Like I've taken it one time in my life. And let me tell you why.
Because you know how terrible you felt after.
Because of how terrible I felt during the whole thing. I took that thing as soon as I felt that I was sick as hell. And I was in a lot of freaking pain when I needed it. I took it one time in my entire life. And someone's like, oh, here, take your back hurts. Take one of these. And I'm like, cool. It's a little ass pill. No big deal. No, I was crawling on the floor and throwing up.
Yeah.
I had no freaking clue. And
got any more?
No. Oh. I never took it again after that. And I'm kind of glad, you know, because I've seen that, you know, it has an addictive. I didn't even know while taking it for the first time that it was addictive. And I was already in my 20s, like, you know, late 20s. You know, I just didn't know. I didn't have friends that did pills.
And your endocannabinoid system, that really...
we were doing other things, not that.
I swear to God, it was crazy.
Too, my friend. I didn't have pills popping. We smoking meth. That's so funny.
I'm saying, like...
What about you, though? Let's go to that. Yeah. What about you, though, Mark? What's the craziest, your favorite way to use cannabis?
I like the pipette here if I want something quick.
I love you and Blue hitting that, by the way. It just looks cool. I really like seeing you guys hit it.
I just like a pipe. Let's put it to smoke it, but this one's nice because it's one hitter. You don't need to have any
and paper it's fresh.
Or chemicals that are on the paper. If it has glue, like I used to use club papers because of that.
Yeah.
And you smoke, it used to be joints, but pipettes. Before that, probably was bongs if you're going to smoke it. Now, if you want to do my oils, like Nectar Ball oil, I call it that, or Nectar Bomb because we make it. But we're not selling it anywhere. We're just giving it away to our friends like you guys. It's the same thing I do with anything, even about stuff I grow myself, which I'm a couple plants a year because it's all we're allowed to do. But I make it into medicines. It's also like it's in our documentary. I think it was Ken Sobel that said that you know, or other, many of you guys said this, that whether you're using it recreational or not, you're getting the medicinal benefits as it stimulates your endocannabinoid system and does all kinds of wonderful things that helps your body regulate and maintain the beautiful health you got. That's why you have a better workout too.
Exactly, yeah. Mark. I think what you say, and as you said that, I think of Mark and Craig Wasserman from the Pop Brothers at Law, who consistently say something relative to that too, which is no matter how you're using this, there's medicinal benefit for you no matter what. So, I would agree with that concept as well. Question number three of the high five with Mark and Patty. Patty, where's the craziest place you ever used or smoked cannabis?
That's been all over the world. So, you smoked it in all kinds of crazy places.
I mean, what's crazy? Crazy is crazy to you. Crazy is crazy. It could be on the top of a mountain. It could be in a bathroom. It could be in the back of a bus. It could be at a church. It could be wherever.
Tahiti.
Tahiti. Give us the story.
On a Motu. The Motu is a tiny island. And our friends brought us by boat to this little tiny island where you could walk around it in 15 minutes.
Wow.
And so we set up our tent that night.
You stayed the night there. Nice.
Yeah, we spent the night there.
They
dropped us
off. They dropped you off.
This sounds so cool.
Do they walk you around it real quick?
No, because you can see across from it. They don't need to.
So this is your own private island.
Yeah, they did that. This is back in 1982 when we first met.
Keep going, please.
And so there started a little rainstorm because Tahiti is very high.
Tropical like that, right? Yeah.
So a little misty rainstorm. So we crawled into the tent. Let's have a puff. And I remember that. And then
first time for the pipette.
Yeah.
And then the rain stopped and then we walked out and then we went snorkeling in this beautiful, pristine water.
Oh, nice.
It was a dream, man. A rainbow came over after the rain. We woke up.
I'm ready to take Blue on a trip right now. Just him and I just going all romantic like that. I swear to God. We'd be able to talk about it on the show.
I'll have a blast.
So would I. I'm not kidding. Yeah. I'll take Daniel O'Connor to film it. So that's a beautiful story, Patty. I mean, what about you,
what was
Marcus?
That in Tahiti, huh?
Tahiti.
You just took me down a
Raiatea, Tahiti.
I wonder if it was still, is it still there?
Raiatea's got the steepest cliff in the world, 10,000 feet straight down.
Wow.
You know, it's the steepest face, they say, out on planet Earth, and it's beautiful, a little five-fingered lily.
Great description, you guys. That really took me, there it is right there, as Connor has it up. That's beautiful, the Tahiti island style. Yeah. Just looking at that and just imagining being there on an island smoking with a loved one.
That water looks amazing around
it. I mean, you're
too.
In Tahiti. All the Tahiti water's like that, too. I mean, if you haven't watched the show on Tahiti, go, come on.
Yeah, well, traveling around the world for the World Odyssey was one thing, but when traveling for cannabis, or this Nectar Ball, the story of cannabis, was another one where, you know, you're getting high with people all over these crazy places, whether it be top of a mountain in South Africa, where you're overlooking the ocean of Cape Town, you know, something like that, to hanging out with wonderful guys, smoking some good cannabis in Amsterdam area, outskirts of Holland, where they're in, like Rhinus. And he's also in there. And his place, all these great stories people tell us.
So you could have some, you and not only that, you have crazy stories too then. If you got those, they'll pick one, Mark. I mean, what's like your wife, that was a great one. I mean, you have to give me one that was like hers. That was a great one. She took us there. You got to take us there, dog. She took us there.
I can
take
you.
The Amsterdam one. With that old house.
Crazy. We just walking by late at night, and this guy goes, "Hey, I know there's a place here. It's like a hidden hotel, some kind of thing." And we went in, and there was a guy showed us around and took us to the bottom where they dug up a grave from the 1600s. It was a nunnery or something. And it was
still dug up?
Yeah, this is after we had just got high too. So we're like, wow, at this point is kicking in good. And I'm like, you want to hold the skull? And I'm like, not exactly. But yeah, so I
had a skull.
She was a 16-year-old. And we had to give all the nun, a 16-year-old nun that had passed away there in 1600s when they built Amsterdam.
Wow. And they still over had the skull. Yeah, that's freaking crazy.
That's pretty cool.
Right? That is
pretty there's
crazy.
So many.
That's a good high story. Yeah. Remember when you got that skull in your hand when we were high? That's a good one.
Question number four of the high five.
Good one.
That's crazy.
What is your go-to munchie after you get high?
Okay, for me, it's a Sanders.
Oh, God, that's good.
Chocolate. Dark chocolate with caramel.
From Costco?
Yes.
Yes.
I know exactly what you're talking about. The caramel and chocolate square
sea
one.
Sea salt on top.
Yes, those are so bomb.
I like the milk chocolate ones personally than the dark chocolate ones, but I know what you're talking about.
Dark chocolate's healthier.
I know. I'm fatter, though. That's why I'm fatter than you guys. Thanks for pointing out, Mark. Those are great candies. I love those ones. So good.
It's interesting. We've been together so long. We share the same
palette.
Beautiful. Munchy, like
right?
You said.
The munchies.
And maybe sometimes I'll throw a couple. Well, I'll eat a bite, and then I'll take a couple of those Costco
almonds or
cashews.
Cashews, dude. I'm a Costco guy too, and I have the. That's why I said almonds because I'll go almonds with
this. Costco. Buy this show.
We would love Kirkland to sponsor us, please.
Kirkland sponsored.
We are
these
big
guys.
Fans of everything Costco. Kirkland,
question Kirkland. Number five of the high five. Folks, you hear the co-producers right here of Nectar Ball. You hear one of the gentlemen that's in the show all the time here on Cannabis Talk 101. Go do yourself a favor and hear the history that they want us to know about cannabis because it's all good for the soul. Question number five with a high five with this lovely couple, Patty and Mark. It's a pleasure. But if you could smoke cannabis with anyone, and you smoked with a lot of them, but anyone, dead or alive, who would it be and why? I mean, you made a documentary and smoked around the world with people. So it's hard. You know, I mean, you did a lot of work.
Smoked with almost everybody in the game.
Well, I used to get high with Cheech and Chong back in 1978.
That's my point. So I believe
before
you, Mark.
Their first movie came out. Matter of fact, one of the pot plants I grew in the 70s, I took pictures of and I gave it to them so they could use it for their second movie, Cheech and Chong's next movie.
Wow.
And we used to party at the La Jolla Comedy Store before they... We never got high before the concert. They'd let me sit in there even though I was only 20. This is 1978. Because the owner said, as long as you don't drink alcohol, I don't give a fucking alcohol. I'll get stoned afterwards with you guys.
Yeah.
That's what I did. We'd hang out backstage for weeks on end because they were there for quite a time. I'd bring my mom and my dad there. It was great. It was such beautiful times.
So did everybody just love your hippie style parents back then?
Yeah, they did.
I would imagine. It would be like the coolest parents ever.
Nice son here. Grew good. Like 20-year-old. I'm like hanging out with Cheech and Chong. That was cool.
Yeah,
but I mean, I need you guys to search deep and I need to hear a good dead or alive because who would it be and why?
Well, for me, my favorite president, Abraham Lincoln.
Was a good old man.
I think he was so brilliant and what he did for our nation and ergo the entire world. He didn't free the slaves per se, but he
on his watch. I mean,
yes, exactly.
I look at it as he does. He gets the credit for it. I mean, if it's on your watch, yeah.
And his humanitarianism is very important to me. Human rights, women's rights, the rights to free the plant. So Abraham Lincoln, and he had
his own crops. Everybody keeps talking about
Washington and Jefferson.
I mean, you know what I mean? That's the other part when
Send
you look
the movie,
at these guys like this.
Jamal.com.
That's the part when I think about history like that, as you say that, if you can watch it, if people don't know, when we hear about former presidents who have had these type of things, and then as Blue points out, when we hear about the government who has a patent, well, and then all his whole pitch on why they have it and what they wouldn't, it's like, come on, folks. There's so much read between the lines.
It's free. It's love. You know, the cannabis plant is here for us, and we have to embrace it. It's like Dan Hare showed me a $10 bill where they say, you had to grow pot for hemp. Mainly, you know, but they all had the sideline of like little, maybe some flowers or some telltale signs. But to answer your question, I think, and talking, this is cannabis 101.
Yeah. Or cannabis right? talk 101, whatever.
Right. We're talking about cannabis is the first person that discovered that first pot plant. What I'd love to have met that guy or gal and said, hey, man,
that called this a cannabis plant.
Why are you eating it? You're probably eating it first. Or
probably
they threw it on a fire. And I'm, oh, what was that? Let's try it. And those people or group, that would have been great to hang out with those people.
Sure.
And smoke a joint.
Now, as you say that, it makes me think of, were you here when the girl said caveman?
What about?
But just as you say that, I love that answer so much. And it makes me think of like who that person would be. Right. So I'm just zoning out and kind of really listening to what you're
probably
saying.
In India or China.
Exactly. And my point is, who is that person, right? Like, who is this, what you're describing? And I'm trying to go there mentally and thinking, is this possibly a caveman?
Yeah,
maybe
some sort of caveman,
right?
I would imagine. Because if it was, it's got to be at least 100,000 years old.
They're eating it, you're right. My point is, like, let's talk this out a little bit. Like, this is kind of weird and good. Like, who would be these people to see this first? Roman or who? No, I don't know. I think we've got to go further. Probably be the cavemen, right?
Well, they said 15,000 years, maybe, Blue.
It's
China
it's
or just, India.
China. So then China, India, somebody.
China, and I think they were using it for rubs and teas.
Yeah. The teas and okay. That's what I'm seeing, too. Yeah.
I think it was for rubs and teas, and then and it was for
rest.
I think someone stumbled onto it too, though. I think it was like a
dung heap.
I remember seeing a video that shows it like that too.
I'd heard a dung heap in China.
Well, because
like 10,
you have to think
years.
About it, they didn't have lighters, you know, so they weren't even firing it up.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. And who really told the story, and who's like how is the story so well? My point is, Mark, that what you're saying is very intriguing to me because we don't know that answer, right? There's nobody that can just say who it is 100% Lee. So to speak.
Sure.
Nectar Ball, folks, is there anything else that you guys want to talk about the movie or yourselves or your lives or anything else before we let you guys get on out of here? It's been a pleasure having you guys on the show and your dynamic
you.
And your
yeah,
what
awesome.
You guys are doing for the community and what you guys have been doing for the cannabis world is tremendous. Please keep up the work. You guys are a beautiful couple.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I just from my heart, again, the reason we did this show and series hopefully soon is to really bring a little bit of love back to the planet that needs it and bring more inclusive, whether you're Republican, Democrat, everybody loves cannabis. That's why it's getting legal and everywhere for all any reasons, whatever they want to call it. And to try and educate and wake people up a little bit, that's always been my goal. It's like being a teacher, I guess. That's a noble profession. And Pat and I are just trying to, like you too, Blue, educate, remind people of the love they have within themselves. This comes naturally, especially when you get high. But even if you're not, just to be able to be out there and then sharing these great stories of you guys. We're sharing the people's story of from the beginning of time to.
Well, you guys helped capture history, too. So you guys did part of the Lord's work, in my opinion, by capturing history, getting the knowledge from this guy, because somebody's going to be watching this one day. We're all going to be dead. And they're going to sit there and go, thank you guys for doing what you did, because this is the history of where it comes from.
It's when it happens, you know,
and now we're able to record history, which is even cooler now, right? I was just talking to somebody the other day going, there's a guy on the phone out of this is just a random story too, and he brings up Heavy and Bash and this and that, and he got introduced to us from Peter Holdsworth. Yeah. And then I'm on the phone with
he's living off right now.
Oh no, I'm just pointing out Peter. Nobody, man, I'm just pointing
he's
to
off
Peter.
Flipping everybody off.
I'm sorry, no, I'm pointing out and I'm just he's pointing like, to him. And I'm just using my middle finger to point because I'm pointing it in towards Beverly Hills.
You
whatever.
Can tell we're high. Come on.
Yeah, exactly.
Like he's all over there.
Either way, right it's a good thing to have you guys here.
What was Patty going to say again?
Yeah, Patty, you're changing the world by saving this for everybody and documenting it because these are the type of things that'll last a lifetime, in my opinion. And knowing this history, knowing the stuff that gentlemen like the doctors and the Blues and everybody else who have been around it for so long to get his stories that he knows now of his dad that he's told him from his grandparents and this and that. It's just endless of like the knowledge that you say earlier. Once we know it, you guys, and then we see what we've all been talking about here is the medical aspect. We all want to see the medical angle for the victory of 200-pound male. Take this, 150-pound female. Take that, and God willing, when you're watching this has been the struggle that we've been dealing with, and hopefully you're taking a pill by now.
Well, there it is, guys. It's Cannabis Talk 101 with Nectar Ball. And remember this, if no one else loves you, we do.
Follow Cannabis Talk 101 on all social media at Cannabis Talk 101.
Thank you for listening to Cannabis Talk 101 with Blue and Joe Grande, the world's number one source for everything cannabis. And make sure you like, follow, and subscribe to Cannabis Talk 101 now.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.